Resistance, White Earring Resistance Radio Network. This is the webmaster. Go up to resist.com for all the free information. We have free online books, radio shows, and some merchandise too. I'm going to talk today about the 21st century stress syndrome, adrenal fatigue, and you wonder, what does that have to do with me? Well, if you look at the New York Times today or see online, the death rate of white Americans age 45 to 54 is skyrocketing. The causes are listed as suicide, drug and alcohol poisoning, and those are caused by the stress of the economical situation right now with the high school graduates that are, their income is going down by 19%. So this is stress. The adrenal glands are the glands that control stress. Adrenal fatigue is caused by some sort of stress, physical, emotional, psychological, could be environmental, or it could be all of them together. Most people don't know about adrenal fatigue because there is no medication they've been able to patent to treat adrenal fatigue. So, what is adrenal fatigue? It used to be that adrenal fatigue, the extreme form, was listed as a disease called Addison's. Addison's disease was named for Sir Thomas Addison, who first described this condition in 1855. But Addison's is life-threatening when it's untreated and can actually involve a lot of physical damage to the adrenal glands. People that suffer from Addison's usually have to take corticosteroids for the rest of their lives just in order to function and get out of bed. Luckily, it's only 4 people per 100,000 get Addison's disease. And approximately 70% of those cases are the result of an autoimmune disease where the body is attacking the adrenal gland. The other 30% are usually caused by something like very severe stress. But the adrenal fatigue or hypoadrenia is less serious, but it can be very debilitating. It affects millions of people around the United States, but very rarely do you ever hear a doctor that diagnoses it, and if someone comes in for fatigue, or even thinks of looking at the adrenal glands. And one reason is because there's really no diagnosis made by conventional doctors for adrenal fatigue. It's always Addison's disease is hypoadrenia, the extreme end of it. So if you don't test that your adrenals are at that extreme end, then you don't have a condition according to conventional medicine. There's nothing that doctors in their conventional medicine capacity can prescribe for someone who has adrenal fatigue, other than if you have the extreme end form of Addison's disease, and then you would get this corticosteroid that you're on for the rest of your life. So hypoadrenia just means lower adrenal gland deficiency, and because your adrenal glands, that each two of them sit on top of each kidney, they're designed to be very responsive to changes to your physical, emotional, and psychological environment. There are many things that can interfere with their hormone production, which is cortisol. But what can happen to your adrenal glands, or changes can occur in your metabolism of your carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, your electrolyte and fluid balance, your sex hormones, and your cardiovascular system. Fatigue is a universal symptom of low adrenal function. But it's such a common complaint, and today's medical doctors rarely consider pursuing adrenal-related diagnoses when someone complains of fatigue, because they consider the Addison's disease to be the only diagnosis. So who would suffer from adrenal fatigue? Pretty much anybody of any age. It has to do with your ability to withstand stress. And a lot of this is genetic, but also a lot of it is environmental, such as the lack of sleep, poor food choices, using food and drinks as stimulants when tired, such as caffeine, or eating some chocolate, staying up late even though fatigued, constantly in a position of powerlessness, constantly driving yourself, lack of enjoyable and rejuvenating activities. So the ability to withstand stress varies from person to person. People that pick jobs such as being on the police force, high-stress jobs, doctors, nurses, those that think that they have trained to withstand stress, but have in studies done of, say, nurses in a hospital that thought that they, and they worked in a pediatric unit, who thought that they were not stressed, were found to be really high-end stressed, according to their cortisol levels, which is the hormone that the adrenals produce under stress. The signs and symptoms of adrenal fatigue: difficulty getting up in the morning, 3 alarms, and you still don't feel awake enough to lift your head off the pillow. Continuing fatigue, not relieved by sleep, or say getting up in the morning and feeling kind of that fog. It's like a hungover feeling, just not quite with it. Craving for salt or salty foods. Just a general lack of energy. Doing things seems to be a chore. Just not, can be depression, but it's more like just not feeling like doing anything. Day-to-day tasks seem a chore to get through. Actually, decreased sex drive can be an adrenal fatigue symptom. Decreased ability to handle stress. If you have an increased time to recover from illnesses than usual. And being lightheaded when standing up quickly. That's a very typical sign of adrenal fatigue. If meals are skipped or inadequate, the symptoms of adrenal fatigue can be much stronger. And the memory being less accurate too. If you have less tolerance, people are more irritating than usual. And after the evening meal, which typically is the larger meal of the day, and for a lot of people, that's where they cram in all the better nutrients, feeling a lot better after the evening meal. There is also the, till 10 a.m. in the morning, feeling that fog, and then at around 10 in the morning, feeling like you've now are finally awake. And then in afternoon, 3 to 4 o'clock, that typical low, the afternoon low, between about 3 and 4, where you just start to feel like you've been drugged with sleeping pills. That's also a typical sign of adrenal fatigue. Now, there are tests you can do at home that you can pay for, but there are also tests that you can do in your own home that test for adrenal fatigue without any money. There is also a book by the name of Adrenal Fatigue, The 21st Century Stress Syndrome, by James L. Wilson, ND, DC, PhD. This book is the go-to book on adrenal fatigue. It is recommended by alternative doctors. And the test that you can do from his book has tests that you can take, questionnaires, and the whole outline of what to do for adrenal fatigue. But I'm hitting the highlights today, and I want to tell you there are a couple of tests you can do that are pretty simple for adrenal fatigue. The first one is you need a chair, a small flashlight or a pen light, a mirror, a watch with a second hand, and a dark room. You darken the room and sit in a chair in front of a mirror. You're going to be doing an iris contraction test. You're sitting in front of a mirror in a chair in a darkened room. You take the flashlight in one hand and you shine it not directly into the eye, but across the eye from the side of your head. And you keep the light shining direct steadily on that one eye, and you watch in the mirror with the other eye. You should see your pupil contract immediately as the light hits your eye, because the iris is a muscle that contracts and dilates the pupil in response to light. After it has been exercised, that muscle, beyond normal capacity, it likes to have a rest. The pupil normally remains contracted in the increased light, but if you have some form of low adrenal, the pupil will not be able to hold its contraction and will dilate despite the light shining on it. This dilation will take place within 2 minutes, and it will last for about 30 to 45 seconds before it recovers and contracts again. You need to time how long the dilation lasts with the second hand on the watch and record it along with the date. But you only do this once and then let the eye rest. And if you have difficulty doing it on yourself, then do it with a friend. The friend can shine the light across your eye while both of you watch the pupil size, and then the friend can keep track on the second hand on the watch. You retest monthly, and if you are recovering from adrenal fatigue, it can be an indicator of recovery. As you recover from adrenal fatigue, the iris will hold its contraction and the pupil will remain small for longer. In really mild cases, you might not see this change with the contraction of the pupil, but moderate to severe adrenal fatigue, it usually is present. The second test is low blood pressure and postural low blood pressure. If your blood pressure drops when you're standing up from a lying position, this almost always indicates low adrenals. So what you will need is a blood pressure gauge, and you want to have the electric one, the digital type that takes it without you using a stethoscope. You lie down quietly for about 10 minutes after having put on the blood pressure cuff, then lay down for 10 minutes. Then you stand up and measure your blood pressure right after you stand. So the blood pressure cuff will still be on. Stand up, immediately take it again. Blood pressure will rise 10 to 20 millimeters of mercury, or mmHg, just from standing up. If it drops when you stand up, then you likely have low adrenals, or you may be dehydrated. If you could possibly be dehydrated, do it again on a day when you know you've had plenty of water. You can't drink the water right before you do the test, because it takes your tissues a while to rehydrate. But on a day that you know you're hydrated and it drops 10 mmHg or more, when you're sure you're not dehydrated, you probably have low adrenals. The more severe the drop, the more severe the adrenal fatigue. You may also be lightheaded when you stand, so make sure you have something to sit on behind you in case you feel dizzy. As you follow the tips on how to get your adrenals back in good health, you should notice that your blood pressure is increasing to normal when you go to stand up from laying down. Now, if you are a complete vegetarian, your blood pressure may already be somewhere around the 95 over 65. If so, then your lower overall blood pressure does not necessarily mean you have low adrenals. But if you do have a drop in blood pressure upon standing up from a lying position, that will still indicate low adrenal function. Now, only about 40% of people have this last test show positive. It was discovered by a French physician, and it's called the Sargent's White Line. It is still useful to do today, and you need a dull end of a ballpoint pen. You lightly stroke the skin of your abdomen, making a mark about 6 inches long. Within a few seconds, a line will appear. In a normal reaction, the mark made by the pen is initially white, but reddens within a few seconds. If you have low adrenal function, the line will stay white for about 2 minutes and will also widen. This test is not always positive in people with low adrenal function, only about 40% of cases, but if you do have it, it is definitely confirmation of low adrenals. So it's best to do all three tests, the iris contraction, the blood pressure line and standing, and the Sargent's White Line test. The questionnaire that I will definitely attach to the email is a good guide to figure out if you have signs of adrenal fatigue. Now, there are laboratory tests. You can go to your doctor. Usually a doctor would need to be one that actually admitted that mild and moderate adrenal fatigue is a diagnosis, but there's a saliva hormone testing that tests your saliva for the hormone cortisol. There's a urinary cortisol test, and there are blood tests to measure your circulating adrenal hormones. So those are a few of the tests you can actually take at a doctor. Typically, it ends up being an alternative medicine doctor, or functional medicine is what they call it now. The good news is there is plenty you can do for yourself to help yourself back to health and good adrenal function. It definitely will be something that you can control. It will require some dedication to doing these steps and is not an overnight transition to good adrenal health. But I have seen within a week of some of these being changes being started, I have heard and have experienced an increase in energy and less adrenal fatigue. The first thing is to remove stressors. Adrenals need rest. The type of rest you need when you have adrenal fatigue is not so much from lying down, but from standing up for yourself and to remove a lot of the harmful stresses in your life. A sense of powerlessness or helplessness, either in personal life or in professional career life, is definitely one of the big factors to change. So removing the causes that contributed to the adrenal fatigue is very important, because even if you do the good food and exercise and so forth that are good for adrenal fatigue, you do need to change your stressors, because stress between the adrenals and that are a physical organ in the body and the mind are directly connected. Your mind will go into stress mode, which makes your adrenals produce cortisol, which then is a physical stress. So removing yourself from situations or taking control of them is one of the big steps of helping adrenal fatigue. That's something that takes a little bit longer to figure out and do. So in the meanwhile, while you're working on that, relaxation exercises you can do to help in these situations would involve belly breathing. There you would lay down if you can. You don't have to lay down, but it also is a time during the day that if you can take 10 minutes and actually physically lay down when you have adrenal fatigue. This is a good time to do this exercise where you expand your belly as you're breathing in, just your belly, breathing in through the nose and out through the nose, because that slows down the exhalation, and that is called a relaxation response. It allows the air to reach the lowest part of your lung where there's a large blood supply and triggers the relaxation response within a few minutes. It is almost impossible to be tense while you're doing this belly breathing exercise. If you'd rather have an app for that, there is one that is free called Pranayama, Pranayama. And I know that it is free on the iPhone and the Android. Along with that is to find unstructured time. It used to be Sundays, but it can be any day that you have where you can take at a minimum part of that day to just have it unstructured, not looking at the clock, where you don't have any goals or any planned activities. And you just go along with doing what feels good. Not a good idea to use this time to watch TV or sleeping. Along with this is sleep. Sleep is very important to adrenal recovery. Sleep is a very important factor. It's in addition to having this unstructured time. So sleep with adrenal fatigue is important, the timing of when to be in bed, because of sleeplessness is often a sign of adrenal fatigue. So to be asleep before 11 p.m., because most people, that's when their second wind hits. Going through your second wind till 1 or 2 in the morning is definitely not good for the adrenals. So in bed by 11, asleep. And the alternative to that is not to get up early, but actually, contrary to what most people might think, it's actually resting in until 8, between 8 and 9. That's not always something people can do every day. It might be something you can only do on the weekend. But if at all possible, the reasoning for this is the cortisol at around 6 a.m. starts to rise. And they rise rapidly till about 8 a.m. But often people with adrenal fatigue, that's not enough time for the adrenals to get their cortisol high enough to be able to wake up and feel awake. Because people with adrenal fatigue, their cortisol level is a lot lower than the average person without adrenal fatigue. That's why they need more time between the specific hours of 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. to get the cortisol as high as possible to wake up and fully feel alert and ready to go. So it's not just as how long you sleep, it's when you sleep that is very significant for the adrenal glands. If you can't sleep, if you have sleeplessness, there can be several reasons for that with adrenal fatigue. If you're waking up between 1 and 3 a.m., the liver may lack enough of the blood sugar level to keep you asleep. If you have low adrenal function or adrenal fatigue, your blood level, glucose levels, may fall so low that the symptoms of hypoglycemia wake you up during the night. To counteract this, what you need to do is to have a couple of bites of a snack, not a huge meal, but a snack, that contains protein, an unrefined carbohydrate, and a high-quality fat before going to bed. This could be something like a whole grain piece of toast with peanut butter, a slice of cheese on a whole grain cracker. Another thing to do besides the sleep and lowering the stressors in life is to make sure and get enough physical exercise during the day. And you can combine this exercise as part of your unstructured time, and then avoiding the TV and computer screens late at night, or use those glasses that are the amber orange glasses like the welders use to keep the blue light out. To also help with this, the short horizontal rest during the day, just 10 or 15 minutes, it could be up to 30 minutes, but lying down is more restorative for the adrenals than sitting up and taking a nap. And the last thing is food. There is a very strong connection between adrenal fatigue and low blood sugar. When you have adrenal fatigue, when you eat is almost as important as what you eat. Avoid letting your blood sugar levels drop too low. So you want to eat frequent, regular intervals. And to do this, you'll want to eat, first of all, in the morning before 10 a.m. It is very important to eat before 10 a.m. You need to replenish your blood sugar supply after your previous night's sleep. So even a small nutritious snack is better than nothing at all. Now, there are factors why people tend to see their appetite diminish and not be hungry during the early morning hours. Between 6 and 8 in the morning, the cortisol levels, as mentioned before, they rise rapidly, peaking at around 8 a.m. And while your cortisol levels are higher, you may not feel like eating. If you also have low liver function that accompanies adrenal fatigue, that can suppress your early morning hunger. And if your liver is very congested, you may even feel an aversion to food in the morning. But this does not change your need for energy. So you must eat some nutritious food before 10 a.m. so that your body does not have to play catch-up the rest of the day. An early lunch before noon is better than a later lunch because your body is going to quickly use up your morning food and it needs the next installment at around 11 to 11:30. Eating before 10, then again at 11 to 11:30, that would be lunch, and then a snack between 2 and 3 p.m. to sustain you through that afternoon dip in the cortisol levels that usually occurs between 3 and 4. When those cortisol levels drop, you don't manufacture or move stored energy from proteins and fats as you do when your cortisol levels are normal. So you need to hit these eating times before the dips in energy. That means your evening meal should be around 5 to 6 p.m. Typically, most people have adrenal fatigue feel their best after the evening meal. If you do not feel your best after the evening meal, you may not be eating the right foods. Then, just before bed, a couple of bites of a high-quality snack or their meal in. What to eat would be combining at every meal fat, protein, and a starchy carbohydrate. Eating any thing at breakfast that is just carbohydrates is typically not the best thing for people with adrenal fatigue. Even fruit juice will make the blood sugar rise and then fall too quickly. So you want to combine fats, proteins, and starchy carbohydrates at the meals, and particularly at the morning meal, avoid just the carbohydrates. Salt craving was mentioned as a common symptom in adrenal fatigue. The reason for this is that your body is crying out for something it needs. The people with adrenal fatigue typically have low blood pressure, not high. And anyone that has treated Addison's disease knows that they always recommend the addition of sodium or salt to their diet. It increases blood pressure, but it also helps restore other functions that are related to sodium loss within the cells. Sea salt is a good source of salt. It has more trace minerals than regular table salt, but it usually doesn't contain iodine unless you specifically buy it with iodine in it, which you can get. I know Hains sells it, H-A-I-N-S. And conversely, potassium is not always a person that has adrenal fatigue's best friend. It can make adrenal fatigue worse. Things like dried fruit, foods that are high in potassium, dried fruit, bananas, fruit juice, they have a lot of fruit sugar, but they also contain a high amount of potassium. People with adrenal fatigue do not do well with high potassium. Proteins you can get from all different sources, from meat to nuts, dairy, eggs. People with adrenal fatigue usually also can have lowered levels of hydrochloric acid, so it is highly suggested to take a digestive enzyme. And because people that do have low hydrochloric acid in their stomach, they usually choose to eat less protein and more carbohydrate foods because they have a harder time digesting it with gas, bloating, indigestion. So taking a digestive enzyme with meals that also has some hydrochloric acid in it, and maybe things like pepsin, papain, helps your body break down the protein, is an excellent thing to do. You can get the proteins from vegetable sources. The beans need to be eaten with the whole grains, seeds, or nuts to make a complete protein. But according to this doctor, vegetarians that suffer moderate to severe adrenal fatigue can have tremendous difficulty recovering on a strictly vegan diet. Now, the carbohydrates, people usually have a hard time figuring out which ones to have. Starchy carbs are in grains and certain root vegetables. You metabolize energy from them more slowly, so you get more sustained energy and nutrients from them. Good sources are brown rice, whole wheat, buckwheat, unpearled barley, whole oats, quinoa, millet, amaranth. The root vegetables would be things like sweet potatoes, taro root, Jerusalem artichoke, any of those root vegetables you see at the store that you might, a potato. Look for the purple potatoes, or even a regular white potato, russet potato that you cook, but then you put overnight in the refrigerator and eat it the next day. That has a lot more slowly absorbed carbohydrate than if you eat it right after you cook it. Vegetables, of course, people can usually handle that. Have 6 to 8 servings of a wide variety of vegetables. Fruit, people with adrenal fatigue and blood sugar problems should go lightly on fruits, especially in the morning. If you exercise early in the day, you may be able to handle a small amount of fruit for breakfast, because exercise elevates your cortisol and aldosterone levels, which is another hormone produced by the adrenal glands. But if you eat that fruit and you notice that you become more tired, thick-headed, or have other symptoms of low blood sugar or low adrenals, you need to eliminate fruit in the morning. Fats and oils. Olive oil for either low heat cooking or just cold. Coconut oil. Avocado oil. The oils least damaged by heating would be the palm oil, palm kernel oil, coconut oil, butter, avocado oil. The nuts and seeds are a great source of essential fatty acids. Having them raw only is the way to go. They provide, if there's not enough cholesterol in your diet, then your adrenal glands will manufacture cholesterol from these essential fatty acids from the nuts to produce your adrenal steroid hormones. They should be stored in the freezer to avoid rancidity. You can roast them, but it's preferable to eat them raw. What not to eat is pretty self-explanatory. That would be the sugar and white flour products. If you have chocolate cravings, it usually means magnesium is deficient. And even though the chocolate does have magnesium in it, it is offset by the caffeine. So you would not want to have chocolate, colas, caffeine, because what they do is temporarily boost the adrenals to get that energy, but then it's accompanied by a very large dip low, and it stresses the adrenals out, which causes the next day to be worse symptoms to set in. So what you can do instead is you can have green tea instead of caffeine in the coffee, because green tea has a lot of natural chemicals in it that help support the adrenals. And instead of chocolate, can have carob, which does not have caffeine, but also can be purchased as like a candy bar to eat and still taste just as good. That is about the summary of adrenal fatigue. I'm going to include pages that come from this book that have a little bit more instructions in an orderly fashion to be able to follow on paper. So hopefully if you have fatigue and you haven't figured out what the cause of it is, this might be a step in the right direction to try this program and see if it could be the cause of your problems.
Here's Roy Clark.
Cotton. But my mother did, and my brother did, and my sister did, and my daddy died young, working in a coal mine. When I was just a baby, too little for a cotton sack, I played in the dirt while the others worked till they couldn't straighten up their backs. And I made myself a promise when I was big enough to run, that I'd never spend a single day in that Oklahoma sun. And I never picked cotton, but my mother did, and my brother did, and my sister did, and my daddy died young, working in a coal mine. Folks said I grew up early and that the farm couldn't hold me then, so I stole 10 bucks and a pickup truck, and I never went back again. It was fast cars and whiskey, long-haired girls and fun. I had everything that money could bring, and I took it all with a gun. But I never picked cotton, but my mother did, and my brother did, and my sister did, and my daddy died young, working in a coal mine. Well, it was Saturday night in Memphis when a redneck grabbed my shirt. And when he said, go back to your cotton sack, I left him dying in the dirt. And they'll take me in the morning to the gallows just outside. And in the time I've got, there ain't a heck of a lot that I can look back on with pride. But I never pick cotton, but my mother did, and my brother did, and my sister did, and my daddy died young, working in a coal mine. I never picked cotton, but my mother did, and my brother did, and my sister did, and my daddy died young, working in a coal mine.